Hello and welcome to another Sustainable Wine podcast with me, Hannah Holmari. For today's episode, I'm joined by Romain Ott, who is the winemaker at Chateau Laube on the coast of Provence. So Romain, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for welcoming me today.
Chateau Laube is of course known for its rosé, but you also produce red and white wine as well as olive oil. All of this is entirely organic and you've been handling all of the estate's production since 2000. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Chateau Laube, yes, produces some rosé, of course. 80% of the production is dedicated to rosé wine, but we also kept the production on white and reds and developed the full range on the three colors. And we also produce olive oil, blended olive oils, two different blends to get two different tastes or different pairing, I would say.
Tell us a little bit more about the estate. What are some of its unique properties?
Chateau Laube is probably, yes, unique in France. It's a huge estate, 560 hectares. But it's a big estate, really close to the sea, I would say, front of the Mediterranean Sea, in a protected area where we cultivate 70 hectares of vines and 22 of olive trees. With it, we also produce some fruits and vegetables to supply our restaurant on the beach and herbs. And you can get on your table or plate in Provence. It's a very unique place because of the location, because of the size, because of the part of nature it has. Because if you count, we have more or less 100 and 120 hectares of agriculture, and the rest is only the lands and the wild lands and maquis and forest, very protected by the hills, like an amphitheater in front of the sea. So it makes it unique on several points. The production, full organic, the location, the size, the protected area, and situation, because from 2000, more or less the rebirth of the estate, we were very careful on the protection of the area, including the farming and the viticulture and agriculture, of course, in the site, but keeping this balance with the environment and the biodiversity, which is already here. So the aim is to preserve the land and just produce what the land can give us.
So the focus is very much on protecting the nature. So you mentioned that you're fully organic, and organic is, of course, one of the many terms in the sustainable wine space. We also have biodynamic, natural, and regenerative agriculture is, of course, a huge topic. So when it comes to thinking about sustainability in the vineyard, what do all these terms mean to you, and how are they informing your approach at Laube?
We talk about sustainability, organic methods, biodynamic, biodiversity. I would say now we put some words on what make a balance of the environment of a wine estate. Now we put some name on things, very important things. But when you are a winemaker with very traditional process and methods, the normal way to act and farming organically is just the normal way, work with the moons for pruning, for spraying, for tapping, according the moon cycles. Is, yeah, again, it's just what we call the bon sens paysan in French, the farmer right sense. And biodiversity helps a lot. We know that. Doesn't mean you have to plant some trees in the vines. It's just you have to let the balance between the plots and the environment and all the maquis and the forest around to keep this balance with all the insects, animals, which can be very helpful on the protection, I would say, or the vines and olive trees balance.
So let's talk a little bit more about that in practice. What are some of the kinds of things that you're doing in the vineyard or outside to boost biodiversity in the estate? And how are you then measuring the benefits of this?
We did a big inventory of all the animals we have on the estate around the fields. We don't really measure the evolution, but we try to keep a maximum of natural age, big gaps with a completely wild environment around that. When you look at a map of the estate, you have several plains with lots of vines and olive trees, and between them some huge natural places or surfaces. The aim is to keep the link between all those natural spaces to keep this sort of ecosystem always alive. So that's how we work on a, I would say, on a big scale, on a global scale of the estate. After that, on the vineyard, of course, as we are organic, we don't spray insecticide, of course, no weed killers, of course. We use some green manure from autumn to spring and then plow the soil, because it's necessary here to preserve and to keep the underground, the small amount of water we have underground. The aim is just to help the existing nature around the estate, not recreating the environment because it's already here and it exists. I don't know if you understand, because it's just pure French translation and it's not easy to explain when the nature is there. If you see the estate, you understand it directly. That's, you just need to help and to guide the nature and help it by sometimes cleaning some spaces just to regenerate the maquis and cleaning the gap. Of course, it's necessary to have a better water flow, to feed some big ponds, natural ponds we have. It needs to be a large view of the estate.
That makes sense, even if it's the direct translation from French, I suppose. For an English one, we could say, you know, we're not looking to reinvent the wheel. We're just helping nature regenerate
exactly,
itself.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, of course, we help the birds. We put some nettles because we know it helps for specific insect control. Again, it's a mix of small details and the logical farming or whole farming methods, which works, I think. Today, a lot of people, and it's a good thing, they are working to bring nature again in an estate or around the plot, because there were nothing at the end. But when it's already existing, it's probably a different way of thinking. It's more maintaining the existing and help nature to grow, to develop. Sometimes we have to limit the development to have some clearer places to help birds, for example. We don't bring back nature compared to probably other places.
Moving the conversation to climate change. So, I mean, the effects of climate change are very visible in the industry across wine regions.
Yes.
You know, we can see many, many regions struggling with heat, drought, excessive rainfall, and so on. What kind of changes have you seen in the vineyard over the last decade?
Of course, the harvest dates early and early. We have like a lot of winemakers both, but I'm happy because I'm back from holiday today and we had a big, big rain during the weekend. It's very helpful for the spring season, because spring is already settled here. It's more the growth and hot temperature, yes, of course, but we already know them here. It's probably a little bit different compared to other places, because as we are really close to the sea, the Mediterranean Sea temperates a lot the climate. Sometimes really hot, but never too hot, because we more or less always have a light breeze in the day. So it's never too hot compared to probably a few kilometers on the north. And nights are really fresh here due to the sea, so it's very helpful. Big changes, yeah, it's probably the miss of rain we had for 3 years. And the amount of rain is not enough on a year. It's, of course, for me, climate change is for sure, because we know that and we measure that and we are informed about that. In the same time, I hope, and I hope I'm not wrong, there's a mix with the climate changes and big cycles, dryers, early harvest, and then I hope it will come back again with a better amount of rain. It looks to be this year, from I would say February, the weather looks a little more classic or normal, I would say, with rains in spring season, cold nights, warm days. So it looks a little better, but we are very worried. We worried a lot about that, because we missed rain, of course, but I'm not sure the solution is to water the vineyards. So we are on dry farming today on the vineyards, and we manage that and we are able to produce balanced wine and the correct amount of grapes. we will be able to continue that, because I'm not sure that watering is the solution, except watering in autumn season, maybe to recreate some seasons. Of course, we notice higher temperature, for sure, a small amount of rain. The aim is to try to adapt with small details, maybe just topping a little more, maybe pruning a little more to accept to produce less grapes on a better condition. Not yet planting some different varieties for the moment. I try to believe it can work again for a few decades on the traditional variety we have. The difference will be probably on details, and maybe accept that the winemaking and the viticulture is a very long process. It changed a little because we want to produce. We are not completely happy when the yield is not full. If you think a little, 50 years ago, it was completely different. We had to accept low yields. We had to accept not to produce the 4 or 5 first year after planting, just to have a very good settling of the plants and a very balanced plants, to let it get its reserves and be ready for the future and for a long life. So probably we have to realize that we have to be more patient. Yes, probably a little more tolerant, I would say, just to keep the quality of the harvest, to have balanced fruits, to produce the wines, and to preserve the future of the vines. Yes, it's becoming more quiet. It doesn't mean I accept all the changes, but maybe we have to be probably more careful on details, be more, again, traditional.
You mentioned that you're not experimenting with different varieties, but that does lead me to my next question, which was how you foresee the role of innovation in the vineyard. If we move beyond this thinking of traditional or organic farming, you know, we hear a lot about winemakers experimenting with hybrid grapes, for instance, AI and so many technological developments, precision agriculture and so on. Are you experimenting with any of these? Is that on your radar for the future?
I'm looking of a lot of results on that and a lot of experiments on that. I think it can help for the future. It's just the beginning. I won't say I'm waiting, but I'm looking on what's happening and what can be useful for us. I for sure, they starting to develop it on the pruning process, and that could be very helpful. There's a lot of different measures everywhere. To be completely honest, I'm not an expert on that, but I try to be aware of what's happening, what people are experimenting on that, because the conclusion are very helpful for us. Probably we will use a part of all those things, but again, we have to select, because green manure is the new fashion, even if it's one of the normal way to act on the traditional farming. Mm-hmm. Using manure looks to be a sort of a revelation, but it's not new. People talk about eco-pâturage with sheep in the vines. There's a part, a lot of improvement, which is very helpful, and we have to be aware of that and keep an eye on the result and how it can help for the future, or how we can adapt it for the situation we are. That's the first point, very important. And after that, there's a lot of experimental, re-experimental of traditional process that we already know. Maybe it's probably more measured now with probably more details. Again, it's probably helpful for people who are not aware on the traditional agriculture. When I say traditional, it's very respectful of the plants and the soil. We have to select and take the best, but of course, there's a lot of different things to share with all these experimentations and all the colleagues on the new or different variety. Yes, why not? Again, it's a long process. I mean, you have to plan it now for a production in 5 or 10 years. So it's a very long. Now it's already started by some colleagues. I will wait for the result. And yes, probably it will be helpful for the future.
Yes, and of course, these all have to be very considered decisions. You know, they, like you said, they come with significant risk and investments as well. So
Sure.
likely,
For sure, yes.
yes.
I try to manage it as it is, adapting with details, and it works, but keeping an eye on what is experiment on the vineyard and the changes we have. So yes, I don't have to be late, or maybe we have to be prepared for the future, for sure. Big changes is always risky. So maybe adapting, yes, with different rootstock, with different clones, with different height of the leaves, very small details, reducing the copper and sulfur, of course. Work a little more again on the organic matter, or the all the organic matter and the manure used on the vineyard and the olive trees. Sometimes you have to go on, and sometimes you have to just have a short stop just to have a look and identify what would be interesting for you and for the estate. So it's risky to be in a hurry on such topic, I think.
Well, Laub is a founding member of the Sustainable Wine Roundtable. You've actually been with us right from the very start. So my closing question to you would be, what have you found the most valuable from the SWR so far, and what are you hoping to get out of it?
It's important to be in such organization, probably because we can share a lot of things, or we can share with other producers. Yes, that's probably the most important, is to share, not to be on its own. That's really important. Maybe share the new initiatives and see what people can do on sustainability. Yeah.
We have a long road ahead of us. And like you said, we won't get there alone. So that collaboration is so key. So Ramat, thank you so much for your time, for coming on the podcast
Thank you.
Today. And to our listeners, if you enjoy this podcast, be sure to subscribe to Sustainable Wines podcast channel and sign up on www.sustainablewine.co.uk.